New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sharif, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician. So over a year ago, I created something called the 7-Day HA Recovery Commitment Challenge, and I've been running it for over a year. It was this free email-based challenge, so lots of reading, but you would get an email every day for 7 days to help you overcome and tackle the different but important areas that you need to be checking off in order to get your period back. Now, over time, I have collected some really great feedback, and upon working with all of these wonderful, amazing women, really started to learn even more about what works and what doesn't. And so I'm excited to be introducing to you guys the updated version. It's called the 7-Day HA Recovery Kickoff, and it is totally designed to help you not just commit to the process and have all of your ducks in a row in terms of important factors that need to be tackled and issues that need to be overcome in order to get your period, but the whole thing is now based in video, so you can listen/watch, and every day for 7 days we will tackle nutrition. There's actually 2 days of that because it's so big. We'll tackle lifestyle, we'll tackle exercise, your support network, your mindset game. Each video goes from anywhere between 12 minutes and 5 minutes, so it's not very long, but you'll get all of the most important areas and the best tips and strategies for how to implement them. Because I know that going through recovery is hard. There's always an area for each person that is a little bit difficult to execute on. And so the goal, or maybe a lot difficult. So the goal of this challenge is to help you have the awareness, the self-awareness, and the tools and strategies you need to overcome each of the different issues that AHA recovery faces for us. So get on it. It's great if you're at the very beginning of recovery or if you're halfway through. I mean, we never know how far through we are until it's over, do we? But no matter where you're at, it can be a really good opportunity to check in and look for blind spots and areas where you might be dropping the ball in your nutrition, in your lifestyle, in, you know, maybe it's your support network that's a problem. Maybe exercise is something that you are still struggling with making changes to. So check it out. Go to thehasociety.com/7-day-challenge, or the link will be on the website. So it may be in the show notes of this show. It may not be. Just go to thehasociety.com and you'll find it in the footer, or you'll find it in the pop-up that happens when you visit the page. And we will see you for day one of the challenge.
No, yeah, you're right. I've also got my coffee, and I was like, I'm gonna have to explain why I have a sleepy voice and B, why I'm being like kind of quiet, because there's like a hot guy sleeping in my room. so that's why I'm kind of speaking all softly. Can you tell I'm speaking softly? Like, is the audience gonna be like, why is she speaking like that?
Nah. Okay. No, it sounds like you're trying to be saucy. We'll leave it that way.
Well, yeah, fair. Love it. Love it for me. How have you been?
I'm okay. Like on the bright side, like luteal phase and this period have just been like absolutely fantastic from really good life choices, but emotionally, I'm just like
Abby, your cycle
wimpy.
is always really fantastic. Almost always.
It's, I mean, like this one, like I didn't even have any PMS symptoms.
Yeah, I
Like,
love that. I had one
can't,
like that a couple
yeah.
weeks ago where I was like, 27-day cycle, ovulation day 14. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
Yeah.
I was
Like day
pretty
29, I
public.
started and it was like,
I know. Yeah. I was pretty public, like, with at least with the ladies in the HA Society, that I was on Struggle Street with my cycle from like February to April or something like that. I just like couldn't, based on stress issues, couldn't get it sorted out. And then it just like hit the ground running. And I feel like the lesson there is stay calm, carry on, chip away, do your best. And it will
right.
come. And it was, I mean, it's nice to be experienced enough, right, to be able to do that. It's easier said than done, but.
Yeah, but then you can look at it and you can be like, okay, well, obviously this is affecting this and this is how I'm going to fix it. Like you have the tools.
Yes, no, exactly. And, when things are tough, and I was having this conversation with a client yesterday, actually. Sometimes you have one where you guys decide to not worry as much about recovery because life is blowing up. One of my
Yeah.
beautiful favorite clients is kind of going through exams. Clinic. Actually, this is happening with a few. I have two clients going through exams, one about to have a wedding. Bless her for signing up not long before her wedding.
Yes, right.
What a champ. But yeah, it's like, listen, there's a strong chance you're not going to recover on the timeline of the girls who are not doing really important exams and have a big wedding coming up. So like, let's just go with it. And
Right.
I feel like a helpful tip for people with that has been write down. If you feel like you have a whole bunch of priorities, just get a pen and paper and list them in order of priority. You have to choose one. What is number one priority? What is number two? So like right now it's exams because they have a deadline. They're most pressing. They're really important. It is my priority. And number two is recovery, maybe. And the number three is maybe like something else. And it might be like maybe you're dating or whatever. Or maybe you're married. And I think there's times in relationships where you have to be like, hey, I love you. And right now I need to focus on this and this. So I'm sorry if I'm a little bit like distant or whatever, but I'm gonna read your number three. I'm gonna reevaluate in a month or whatever and try and get you back up to slot number one.
Yeah, and I feel like that's like the whole issue. I was just talking to my mom about this. You know, she has been on this quest to lose weight for, you know, since I was born. And it was, you know, she's always said that it's a priority, but like I was always the priority and her job was always the priority. You know, she had so many things and then she was frustrated with why she never saw results for herself. And it's like, well, it was never a priority for you.
Yeah. That's like a great point. That's a great point. But we can't explain these things to our mom. So not even gonna
No,
try.
yeah, there's, yeah, there's, well, yeah.
Not
I
even
just
gonna
gave myself a
try.
mohawk.
Hey, you were texting me the other day about being interested in trying the cup. And was that yesterday?
Maybe.
Yeah, you were like, hey,
Is that what
I'm
we're hitting up
at the
today?
club. No, I've got questions. We've got weight gain based
Okay.
questions for you. But I mean, just love to insert that in because I'm trying to insert it into as many episodes as possible because I want every lady who gets her period back to just like go straight to the cup and don't diddle, diddle dally.
Really? I'm having such a hard time
The
with
menstrual
like wanting to spend the money on it even.
Oh my God, look, yeah. I'm going to send you one. Mate, look at all
What?
those options. I've got more lying around the house, okay? Got this
People
cup.
are sending them to you, or you like
Got this cup.
Bought them all.
So actually we're prototyping a cup that we are designing and
Stop
selling.
it.
Yes. So
No.
we're doing all of our research. I have more cups. None of these are my favorite ones so far. My favorite ones in my bathroom. But yeah, we love the cup. So we are currently working on the best cup.
That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. I mean, like, how do you get started with something like that? No doubt, another avenue.
Bro.
Another avenue.
I know. I know. So it's, you know, it's take a lot of work. And step one is like, you have to find the right design. And it's tricky. It is tricky. People, you know, people have fears, right? Like, what are your concerns about it? Like, what are the things that freak you out about it?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, like I was telling you, I'm just nervous about like leakage, you know, because I have a pool. And, you know, I know my husband like knows what goes on, but it's another thing to like see it go on. Like, I don't want him to have to see anything ever.
Right.
You know, like the box of tampons in the trash can is one thing. But like, if I'm like in the shower, or if I'm, you know, like walking from the shower to the sink, you know, and I haven't like, I don't know. I don't want any kind of like mysterious drippage to happen. I don't want any kind of like leaking into the pool to happen. And
You
then
could
I'm
take it out in
afraid
the
that it's going
shower.
to hurt.
Do you shower in the evening
Oh.
every day or only like in the morning?
Mostly in the evening. Yeah.
You could just take it out in the shower. It's just a silicone rubber. That's like an option. And yes, so this is a part of why the design is so important. So I love that you bring this up, because we've been testing different ones. And one of them that I don't recommend, that is a popular brand, but I won't say, has a very small tab. I couldn't get it. And I don't know if it's partly because
Oh
I've
my
had a
gosh,
baby.
did you freak out? Like, I can't get it out. Oh my. No.
I've had a baby. I'm getting
Oh.
anything out.
Okay.
But I wondered if because of that, mine actually can get a bit further up. And like, I think that mine can travel a bit further up as a result. But it's not like you can easily get it. It's interesting. You can put your finger up there, right? Not find it. And if have you ever had a tampon string that you lost that you had to try and get out?
No.
Okay. I've had that happen. And you can kind of bear down and push it out a little bit. So you can push it down to yourself. So you'll find that if it travels up a bit high, you can actually insert your finger and just push down and it will come down and then you can grab it. The problem is it's the tab. The tabs can sometimes be not long enough. Like this length is actually not really long enough to get up and get a good grip. And then it actually stretches. And the lid, yes, the thing of the cup suctions to your cervix. So it's like so that's an that's what we're all fearing. That's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So you have to break the suction, which is simple enough to get your finger up, find the tab, go up a bit. Squeeze, this will break the suction and then it will just come out. So the
getting nauseated,
yes,
dizzy.
The important piece is figuring out how to break the suction, but the suction is why you will not have any leakage. So there's that. That's just not going to happen. If you're a heavy flower, you just buy a bigger size. But most of
like
us,
me and my cervix, we're not well acquainted either. Like, you know, I know when I was in the depths of recovery, like I tried to get to know my cervix and I was like, maybe not. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, I
I don't
definitely
know.
understand. You're like, what do you mean this big thing goes in? But like,
I like,
if I'm honest with you
God.
all, it's really, they're really pretty much the diameter of a penis. So don't be telling me you can't fit.
That it can't fit. Yeah, but like there's a difference to being like oblivious to the moment of when that thing goes in. Like, so, I'm enjoying so many other things right now. I'm not even thinking about the actual massiveness shoving through. Like,
you know I'm publishing this piece like, of the episode. You know I'm publishing
go
this
ahead. I have no shame. I mean,
I love that your husband is going to be like, damn right, the massiveness. And I now refer to him like, as the legend. His name is now just the legend.
Yeah, there's a good, like, you know, the idea of a banana trying to squeeze through a Fruit Loop, just, you know.
Stop. It's not a Fruit Loop. So to get it in, you fold it like this. So really not much bigger than the size, probably like a super tampon. It's not like, realistically, it is probably a little bit bigger than a super tampon, but it's not too much. The one that we are working on that I love has a really long tap that is not going to disappear up you. So I love that. And then once you have the long tap, you can really just grab the end and go pull it out. So I think that there is a learning curve for everyone with the cup. Okay. Just like when you were first menstruating as a teenager and you were like, I got to do what with a what on a tampon. And it was, I don't know about most of you guys, but I didn't have a smooth first tampon.
Oh, I did. I mean, I was like, well, after I finally told my mom that like something was coming out of me and I thought I was dying, she moved me right to tampons. Like, we didn't do pads because mom and I talked about how pads felt like big diapers and they felt stinky and they didn't feel clean. Like, we hit all that. But I also had dance class that night. So like,
she
that
was like, it's do or
like,
die.
Oh. Yeah, it's do or die. Yeah. Like, and she was like on the other side of the door, she like directing me like through the
I
door.
Was
Is it okay?
I was full on panicking through the door, and I can't remember if it was my sister or my mum that was there. Pretty sure it was my sister, whose attitude is just like, just put it in. She was like, they're great. Trust me. Like, just, yeah. And I get it. And once it's in there, you're like, oh, yeah. It's like, there's nothing at all.
It's fine. There's nothing at all. But, you know, side note, I had, I was on vacation last year and I was trying to open a bottle. And of course I didn't have an opener because, you know, I'm stupid. And I tried to open it with my hand, got this like huge cut across all my fingers and didn't want to go back into a store. Cause you know, so anyway, I had a spare tampon and I, you know, was great for clotting blood on my hand. I was, you know, speaking about my husband being mortified. He was like, what are you doing? No, but like, I was a little bit nervous after I had taken it out and actually used it on my hands because it didn't feel right. Like the texture of whatever we're putting up in there, something isn't right. I don't know what tampons are made of. I don't know how their magic works, but I do know that it didn't feel right when I was using it to blot the blood on my hands. And it like, I couldn't get this like weird feel out.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. Like, so they're made of cotton. All the different brands do different things, but they're using ingredients to kind of keep that cotton condensed.
Like good
in the
for
way
six
it is,
hours.
Making them absorbent. Oh. I mean, the cotton is what makes it absorbent, but like you're keeping it into this condensed cotton bullet thing. And so what the reason we got into the cup is because we actually first started trying to find, Ashley, Misha and I, tampons that were good ingredients, like good materials. And we just couldn't find one that was good, but also effective. So there was a lot of leakage. The organic type tampons, we were having to change really, really regularly. On the first day of our cycle, it was like they were almost ineffective completely, because of how heavy everything was. So they're okay on the latter days that are lighter. So really we were trying all of these things, period underwear. We kind of went down the route and we're like, oh wow,
did you try
poofers.
those?
I have
the period underwear.
I have some just for sleeping. So, because that's fine, right? They're just like a really thick hug. It's like your whole lower body is being hugged. But they're too chunky to just like wear under regular clothes, in my opinion. And I don't want to sleep with a tampon in or really sleep with a cup in. I want to sleep with the freedom. The other thing I found with the period underwear when I did the first time try to wear it out in the real world, because I did test that, is, you know, because you're bleeding, you're creating this moist environment, you're walking around. I actually ended up with like itchiness and discomfort, like I was creating, because it's so enclosed, it's trying to make sure nothing gets out. It wasn't breathing. So that was too much sweat, too much activity, too much walking around was creating, yes, like it was like a smell, it was like an itch. I can't actually remember if I got like some kind of rash, but I just went, okay, yeah, this is actually inappropriate for walking around through the day. But for sleep, you know, it was totally fine. You're not, it's just like wearing a pad to bed.
I guess you have to wash it in a lid by itself.
Only
because that's my thing.
Ones.
I'm like,
only
it's got to come out.
Ones.
It's like, it's got to come out sometime.
Yeah. I only have black ones. So I don't really know what it ends up looking like. But yeah, you would wash it on its own. Probably. So, I mean, these are all.
Yeah.
But hey, being a woman is kind of a pain in the ass. This is, so I would say, like with the cup, you put it in, it's like the crock pot for your vagina, you set it and forget it. Then at the end of the day, one time you take it out, you know, you might change it twice, depends, like, because when I'm done for the day, I'm happy to free bleed around the house. not too worried about it. Or but yeah, might put it back in one time, a little rinse out. And with the tab.
Oh, that's another thing. The cleaning and where do I keep it when it's not inside me just makes me want to hurl. Yeah. Like, because so, I have been told that you boil it.
Yes, you do.
And then you
to
have to buy like
it.
A special. Yeah, but then like how much better is the silicone that I'm putting up inside me than the weird cotton, whatever. Oh, and that was another thing I wanted to ask you was like, what are the ingredients that we're avoiding on tampons? Do you know?
So I actually haven't looked too much into this, right? So at this point, Ashley was really the person who's like, I need a different solution. I'm going to go organic route. So I think I should get her on and we should really talk about that. But I've always known, they're not good, right? And we could probably ask ChatGPT right now, but I've always known like this is, you know, there's a reason everyone's panicking to get it out quickly before you get toxic shock syndrome or whatever. Like people freak out, which by the way, calm down. I've forgotten about tampons before.
I haven't had an issue before.
It's not really a big deal, but I'm sure some people's pH of their vagina might be more sensitive and maybe can cause some issues.
Right.
But I mean, there's been other brands out there who all like for tampons who also know that this is an issue and have tried to create more safe tampon brands, but they're just less effective. So I think that's important research for everyone to do. I kept myself in the dark intentionally because I didn't have another option.
Yeah, that's how I feel. How I feel. Cause I don't currently, you might be able to turn, but currently I don't feel like the cup is an option for me just because I don't know.
I mean, I can send one to you in the mail. But you don't have to buy a really fancy one to test. You could just buy a cheap one off Amazon. I bet you can get a $10 one, which is going to be a pack of tampons for you for 1 month or whatever, maybe a couple. But
yeah,
see how it goes. But yes, I've almost felt like I need to get on the phone with all my friends when they're inserting it in and just talk them through it. But yes, so that's panic. It for now. I am a fan of the cup. I do think you should give it a try. You're not going to like it the first time. You do need to probably commit, but we are working on making the perfect one that people like as quickly as possible.
Okay. So I'll need emotional support, get out the chocolate chips, get my mom on the line later. Like, I have to set up the counseling session. Got it.
Well, once it's in, once it's in. And then you need to get back on the phone just to talk through getting it out. But once you've done it, once you've done it, it's good. And yes, so hopefully we can figure out the combination of all of the features of all of the, like all of the best features of all of the different cups and combine them to make one that inserts easy, comes out easy, and is effective.
That's I'll have to find like a loose floorboard to store it in, because heaven forbid that thing is living under the sink and your accidental prying eyes is like, what's this?
He's you like, are so weird. How long have you been married again? Isn't it like 10 years?
Six years, but we've been together 12.
You're so weird. The guy I'm dating,
the
guy I'm dating has to pee in my bathroom with a jar of tampons sitting on top of it. And I just like chuck a hand. I just chucked a handful. Before I was using a cup, I just chucked a handful in his medicine cabinet. I was like, I need these here. And he like knows all the details about the cup that we're working on. And he's like all about it. And I just feel nothing. And my daughter also, she has watched me multiple times take out tampons and cups. And so every time she'll play with these, it's so cute. She'll play with these and she'll be like, I want to put one in for my blood. It's for my blood. You got normalize it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. He never says anything when I, like, I don't know. Tampons are a big thing, but like, we just got to the stage where I don't mind walking through the room with one in without pants on. Like, that's the level we're at. We still close the door when we go to the bathroom.
Yeah, you guys are so different to me. You guys are so different. I'm very curious. Like, I would love to know the people listening. I wish, like, you could, this probably is a way like I could just poll them. Yeah, but like, what are you guys doing?
do you still, because somebody told me after 5 years that like farting and pooping in front of each other is normal, and like, no.
Mm-mm. No, I can't poop in front of someone else, like anyone else. My body will just be like, no.
Absolutely not. It's not the time. Yeah.
But he will do that in front of me. He did that in front of me on day one. I was like, Bold. Are you okay?
Bold.
I know. You know what? Like, then just to call him out to you. This is so ridiculous. So he started doing that. He'll like burp fart shit in front of me. And I'm like, okay. I mean, whatever. I guess I don't care, but it was definitely like, oh.
We're then, at that level. Like now. Okay.
Like weeks later or months later or whatever, I was telling him some story about probably like the birth of my child or whatever. Just comes up every now and then. And just like, bro, like I had a second degree tear, like I tore my vagina. And he was just like, not about it, which sure is kind of, but he was like, let's just, these are his words. These are his fucking words. He goes, let's keep it hot. I go, excuse me for 1 minute, but you know that you're pooping, burping, and farting relentlessly in front of me. And he was just like, you're right. Like, yeah, I am. The double standards on some of these people. Like, I'm not allowing that.
Amen to that.
Oh, all right.
I mean.
So we've wasted half an hour on this.
I'm sorry. It's all my fault.
Yeah, I
I'm
mean,
blaming on the whatever I
it
was
wasn't
drinking here,
great.
the tea.
It wasn't great, but I was epiduraled up, so don't worry about me. But that's probably why I tore, you know. So there's also that. Okay,
Oh, don't even go there. I'm not pregnant yet.
so for
Don't
the
start hitting me with all that knowledge.
yeah, you're right. For all of those half an hour into this episode, being like, who are you even talking to? This welcome, Abby Lowe, back to the show. That's why you need
Never
your own
mind.
show. But no, but yeah, you go by Lowe. So
Yeah.
Abby has been on the show before. She's an HA coach herself. Love it. Great. She's the best. Her world of expertise, and her and I just like, we talked about it. We're like, this is really your world, is the whole weight gain changing body piece around recovery. So I wanted to have her on to answer some questions about that, and just
all right,
chit chat. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you
Okay.
so much.
So I have a bunch of questions saved up that we need to get through. So I'm just going to go straight into it. This person actually asks multiple questions, so we're not going to answer them all because
okay.
it's a lot. KS was like, one, can we do yoga? You mentioned you'll do a video, definitely. So definitely waiting for that. Thanks. Yeah. Can we do yoga? Do prenatal supplements help? Does gaining weight around the belly make us more prone to lifestyle diseases like type 2 diabetes and others? Could you please comment on weight distribution post-recovery? I have thyroid. After listening to many materials, maybe HA has caused thyroid. She obviously means hypothyroid. We all have thyroid.
Okay. Yep.
So I need thyroid meds before breakfast. Oof, damn. All in all, I eat after 2 hours. Okay, first, real quick, it's really tough if you've already had your thyroid get to a point where now you have to be on thyroid meds and you can't eat breakfast for 2 hours. That sucks. That's a unhelpful place to be in for recovery, but you're just going to have to do your best. You're just going to have to do your best in every other aspect to get your thyroid back up naturally and wean off that. But I think a good question for us to just, oh, and then she said, is 1800 calories on the super non-active day and 22 with some activity enough? I'm going to say no to that question as well. No, it's not enough. But I think the question of, could you please comment on weight redistribution post-recovery? I would love to know your experience on that and how you answer that question, because it's such a common question.
Oh, yeah. I think, now I've got a frog in my throat. Sorry. Okay. But I definitely noticed, like, after going through HA, it's really, really common to kind of store in the face and kind of stomach and hips and thighs. But then I noticed that as recovery went on, it started shifting more to like boobs and butt. You know what I mean? Like it
Yeah.
took, because I remember when I was going through HA, like my boobs were kind of the last to go. Like like shifting into smaller bra sizes was kind of the last to go. And I thought it would be the first thing to come back, but it wasn't. So I'd say like after a year, well, maybe not quite a year, but like the facial puffiness and stuff went down and it kind of, you know, started moving into normally where I had my weight before, but it definitely was like inflamed in the very beginning. So her question was, can you just talk about it? Right. Was that what she said?
Yeah. I already moved on to trying to find the next one. Here we go. The question was, could you please comment on weight redistribution post recovery? Yeah. So basically, please reassure me
that it's
that this
normal
is going to happen
and that it will go back into, yeah. Like I can even say that. And I was telling Mishi this the other day. My brother gave me a watch for my birthday. And when I was going through HA, it was like swinging on me. So I had my husband take out like three different links to it. And then when I got my period back, I went to wear my watch and it didn't fit. And I was just mortified. I'm like, oh my gosh, even my wrists are fat. Oh, I'm dying. But then I'd say like, so I kept the watch on my counter and I would torture myself by looking at it daily, like, oh, it doesn't fit because my wrists are fat. And I'd say like after 6 or 7 months, I tried putting it back on again and it fit. It was no problem. And so that just kind of, that was my small experience of like, okay, definitely your weight redistributes after your body kind of settles down and stuff, you know, because everything, like you always say, there's a lot going on under the hood. And it just needs that time to rebuild and understand what to do with things functioning again. And everybody's a little bit different too.
Yeah, definitely my experience as well. Weight redistribution happens eventually. You gotta let the body be in flux. Like it's just a year of being in flux. And I think it would be more helpful for people instead of being like, it's gonna redistribute. Really dive into what does it look like to accept my body, whatever it's doing.
Yes, like accept it right now. And I kind of used it as a thing of like, okay, I want to get my period back so that I want to get pregnant one day. And my body's going to change a hell of a lot when I get pregnant. How am I not going to hate every aspect of being pregnant if I can't accept it how it's recovering now? If this is natural now, how am I going to accept its natural state when I'm pregnant? Like that was a big moment for me of just talking myself through of, you know, the fact that like I had to move on from the fact that I had done this to myself. I had to get out of the shame spiral of hating myself and what I had done and move on to what does this mean for my future and how am I going to heal all of this for my future so that I create a better world for my husband, for my future child, for all of that, for me. And I think that was the best thing I could have done. And so any girl that I talk to, that's usually one of my go-to situations is walking them through what it would be like.
Yeah. Because to hold on to my weight's going to redistribute, it's going to happen, I'm going to lose it again, is to continue to hold on to control.
To continue to hate yourself into a different place.
I'm just going to stay stuck in this mindset and I'm not going to actually change and I'm not going to grow from this experience.
Yeah. And to not embrace the journey and to constantly be looking for something that's better than where you're currently at, which isn't even, you know, a lot of people even twist that when they're losing weight the unhealthy way in the beginning. You know, it's supposed to be about, you know, bettering yourself and, you know, constantly embracing where you are with having your eyes on like something that could be good in the future, but not hating where you're at. Oh, sorry. The train is going by. Hopefully you can't hear that.
I cannot. Okay. I love it. I feel like, boom, stop controlling it. Stop making the end result be so important about weight loss and going back to where you came from. Buckle in, because this is a journey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a journey. All right. Well, I have another great question. So let's just dive right in. It's kind of a longer one that also has multiple questions in it. But let's see.
Y'all, we have been trying to record this for like 30 minutes. So here we go. Take 580.
Hey, did you know that we support people with HA, low progesterone, anovulation, short luteal phases, and all of the types of challenges that come up with infertility?
Danny and I are practitioners that have helped hundreds of women beat HA, regain fertility, and get pregnant naturally.
Mm-hmm. We are here to break the status quo of spending tens of thousands of dollars on IVF treatments, for women who have issues that can absolutely be solved naturally.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. So we do this with our signature program that restores ovulation to regain healthy menstrual cycles. And if you're ready, get pregnant completely naturally.
Mm-hmm. On top of our one-on-one sessions, our fertility program even includes a styling session with Samantha Dawn, who is a body positive stylist. She's also our personal stylist.
Yes.
And an expert in helping you to dress your new and nourished body.
This is so important that we don't even need to convince you on how important this is. We want you to relearn how to nourish your body, claim your fertility, and feel confident in your clothes as your body changes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be painful.
No, yeah, exactly right. It doesn't have to be painful. With a little bit of guidance and support, you can absolutely do this. So if getting your cycle back and if feeling good about the process, if getting pregnant naturally is something you want to do, if you don't want to spend tens of thousands of dollars on medical treatment for something that you don't have to, we have just the place for you to go. So go to thehasociety.com/coaching to learn more about who we are, what we do, and apply today.
Yeah, we looked forward to supporting you.
That was good. Do you like that one?
Yeah, okay. I do like that one. That one's way more us.
Yeah, boom, there you go.
Can you have signs of ovulation, cramping and cervical mucus, and elevated LH using pee sticks and not have a period? The answer is yes. I have not had a period since mid-January, but I'm getting all the signs of ovulation. I also get the feeling I'm going to get my period, feeling low energy, nausea, bloat, all the good stuff. So I'm perplexed. I'm going to have a blood test for progesterone this month to see if I'm ovulating. You're not ovulating. To me, that just sounds like
somebody who's really, somebody that's really borderline of.
Yeah, like, really close, really close.
Right.
Is it possible to ovulate without having a period? No, it is not. So then here we go. She goes, I am not skinny. I eat a really good diet, animal stuff, full fat dairy, fermented foods, healthy fats. I don't go to the gym. I just walk. I do housework, gardening. This is why you're so close. Like, this is why she's seeing all of those signs, because she's doing all that stuff. Here we go. I'm just under 5'10 and I weigh 131 pounds.
Dang.
It's the heaviest I've been in years, to the extent my family have commented that I'm like an Amazonian now. Huge thank you to all of the good stuff that you guys do. So that's the part where I was like, so I've already answered all the other questions. I want her to know she is very tall and very lean. And if this is the heaviest she's ever been. And so clearly there's issues there. You know, my family are commenting.
Right.
And I'm curious what you think about this, but when people say my family are commenting and that's all they need to say, you're like, this is in your mind. Once your family are commenting and once your family are concerned, this is a major problem.
Yeah, because, okay, help me out. Like, when you're saying that somebody is like an Amazon, like when you say somebody is an Amazon or an Amazonian, as she says, that's tall, skinny. Like, I think of a tall drink of water, right? Am I right?
Well, like, Amazonian woman, like, so what she's saying is she's gone from catwalk model, skinny tall, to like tall, but with actual meat on her bones, heavens forbid.
Ugh. Well, I mean, like 5'10", that is tall, but then that's very lightweight for somebody that height. That's extremely thin.
At 5'4", I've never been close to 130.
Yeah. I'm 5'4" now and I weigh more than 130. So
100%.
That's just, 100%. And she's got how many inches on us? But I mean, if your family is saying something, I mean, you have to wonder, like, first of all, like, things like that are none of their business, really, unless they're concerned for, because I'm not thinking that they're, people only comment on how much heavier you are getting if they are like projecting their own situation onto you. Like, a lot of times they're feeling insecure about their own thing. But usually people, and I had that, I fought against that when I was getting real thin, and then, but nobody said anything when I was gaining weight. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they were upset that I was getting thinner and they wanted to know what I was doing. And then if they heard what I was doing, they were trying to find a problem with what I was doing. But I didn't have that many people talk about, I had coworkers, but not family, that talked about me gaining weight. So I feel like her family is giving her a hard time about gaining a few pounds back.
Or she's also potentially creating stories about the comments that people are making, because she hasn't said,
"That's true.
My family are saying this is bad." Her family are just saying,
they're like, observation,
you look like an Amazonian sentences. Now. Like, yeah, which to me doesn't sound like a bad thing to be an Amazonian.
Ugh. Right. I had a girl that wrote me and she was upset because somebody had said, girl, you looking thick. And she's like, I don't want to be thick. And I was like, yeah, but who said that? It turned out creating, like,
creating stories around it.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
Totally right. Creating stories around it. You know, people might comment, but you're the only one deciding that it means something negative. Right. A lot also of the time true. when these neutral comments are coming up, like, oh, you look great. You look thick.
More mm-hmm. of observations instead of more of, because what I dealt with was like, you're doing something wrong. Like they were very, very upfront with their opinions. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't just situational observations. So I guess there is a bit of a difference.
Well,
that needs a lot more unpacking. She would need to describe the whole situation for me to be able to see if, like,
absolutely
she's creating.
Yeah. We're answering the questions to the best of our ability, but definitely when you guys are blowing up about your weight changing or your comments from others, just check the narrative that you're telling yourself, that you're blowing up in your head. Because someone might just be saying, you've gained weight, which is objectively true. So cool. And you're the one a lot of the time, unless you're like mm-hmm. a Filipino. And then for sure, people, for sure, your mom's commenting on you. But for a lot of us, people are commenting and they don't care that much. And they're not creating all these stories about you. You're creating all these stories about you.
Mm-hmm. We are the ones that are upset about it because it's something that's the narrative that's going on all the time in our head, that we're doing something wrong with our weight changing because we had worked so hard to not be anywhere close to somebody that is thick or that has meat on their bones. Mm-hmm. We didn't want that. And so when somebody observes that that's the way we are now, it feels like an insult.
Yeah. And I get it. You know, we're not sitting over here being like, it's not an insult. It's, you have no validated feelings. Like, we live in a culture where weight gain is bad and weight loss is good. Right.
Yeah. But, and I mean, I wasn't there. I didn't see the way her eyebrows twitched or the way, you know, her head swaggered when she mm-hmm. said it. Like, she might have needed to be slapped, or he, but like,
yeah, for but sure. Still,
yeah. Check who's saying.
It's just tough. It's just tough. Okay. I have a question here from Linda. She's for sure from the Netherlands. So she's said, and it's pronounced in a way that we don't do, but probably like Linda or something. She said, I have a question for you and I hope you can help me out. Oh, I'm 16. Bless. She's 16 years old. She lost her period. She recently talked with her doctor about it and she came to the conclusion that she has to eat more calories. Solid. I do agree.
Thank you, doctor.
This is a similar question. I do agree because I'm underweight. I'm 182 centimeters and I weigh 51 kilos. So let's go. 182 centimeters is tall.
Yo, yeah, convert that for me. Oh, that's
2 feet. I'll convert it for you. Watch it also be 5'10".
Very American.
Yeah, it's 5'10". It's 5'10". So same question.
She's 16 and 5'10". Wow. Okay, wow.
And kilograms fantastic to pounds. Okay, here we go. Here we go. And she's 112 pounds.
Oh,
so she's sweetheart. Too small. So look, we've already answered this question just now for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So we should go, but the only thing is that I am uncomfortable by the thought of eating until I'm full, and I am scared about gaining weight. I'm scared to confess this to my parents because they'll make a whole big thing about it, and I don't want that.
Aww.
I also eat a lot. I eat a lot. 6 days a week, I'm cycling around 17 kilometers and riding horses about 5 out of 6 times a week. And I have a weekend job. And I know from your videos, you have to reduce exercise, but I have a feeling I can't do that.
Bless.
Okay. Oh, this is easy to me. It's just, my question is, what should I do if I want to recover? And how should I do it without hating myself for recovering? But at 16 years old, but honestly for anyone, so maybe not our parents, but maybe our significant other or our best friend or whatever. But at 16, you're afraid to tell your parents because they'll freak out. But I guarantee you, you feel like you can't make these changes because your parents are going to notice you make the changes. People are going to see you make the changes. So you're like, I need to do this secretly. But you need to tell your parents.
But then somebody's going to make a comment and you're going to be upset about it too, you know, like, so it's actually better to definitely, I would bite the bullet and I would tell my parents, I would tell them what I was doing and I would tell them why. Like, I think I would set up how I wanted them, because you can't control how somebody responds, but you can tell them what you need from them. Like, be very upfront. I do that with my husband a lot. Like, hey, I'm upset with this situation, but I don't want you to give me advice on it. I just want you to listen to it and tell me that I was okay with how I handled it. Like, I set up the conversation beforehand with what I need from them. Like, hey, mom and dad, I have learned that I need to, you know, eat more and do a little bit less for getting my period, but I really don't want you. I want your support, but I want to be able to do this on my own. Something like that. What do you think, Danny?
Yeah. Yes. And at 16, you do need the input of these people. Assuming they're not.
Specifically, because they're also buying your food.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I understand that some people have parents who may not understand. And maybe like, that doesn't seem right. But at 182 centimeters and 112 pounds, 51 kilos, I actually do think you need to speak with your family. And I do think you need help. And like, you're not willing to reduce your exercise because you're afraid of weight gain. You're on the road to an ED. If you don't, mm-hmm. at a young age like that, at those numbers, with that amount of activity, and fear of stopping it, you need support from other people to help you and stay accountable. You should not be cycling 17 kilometers at any given time right now. That needs to stop. You need support for it.
Yeah, she said 17 kilometers a day, right?
Something like that. Yeah. That can't continue. And we can't give you tips on that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just not.
Like, that's dipping into a very serious, That's how it starts.
Yeah. That's how it starts. And thinking that people are going to judge you for it, thinking you can't trust other people to help you with this, That's how it starts. So you need to bring your family in on the ground level before things exasperate, things get worse, and they didn't get to learn along with you. And now they're catching up, and now they're all shocked and surprised. The whole point of being a teenager, the whole point of being a parent is this. I will be livid if my child goes through something, especially before the age of 18, like if my child goes through something like this, and I don't even get the opportunity to support her through it, why am I even here? Because like,
yeah, there's
my
a
job
lot
is,
of
so my job is so much more than giving you shelter.
Right, but and there's so much space for the fact that, you know, she, and at 16, it's really hard to do it, but you haven't put yourself in your parents' shoes at all for understanding that they probably know that there's a problem. You know, that this is a visible, like, you know, she's gone on these 17 kilometer cycling trips. Like she's very small. She's very tall. I mean, they probably know, and they might not know how to approach it. Or maybe they already have, and that's why she's afraid of saying it. Maybe she's afraid of admitting that they were right. Maybe they've already had that kind of a conversation. Again, hard to know just by a few messages, but yeah, I definitely think I would.
Out.
Yeah, I would. She really needs somebody. She needs not only the support of the people behind her, but she needs somebody to talk her through why she's afraid of gaining the weight. Because she wants to get her period back, but she's afraid of gaining the weight and going through the process, which we all are, but it having somebody to talk to is key. If your fear is keeping you from going, it's, you know, that's what, in my opinion, that's the most important part of counseling, is having somebody who is not connected to your family to talk you through something logistic.
Yeah. No, everyone needs it. Everyone's trying to do this on their own. And at any age, it's just not, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. I enlisted everyone that I possibly could.
You know? I was not like that. I was very angry that I had gotten it wrong, because everybody was asking for my advice and I gave it to them freely, confidently. And then to have to go back and say, like, ooh, I followed my own rules so much that I screwed myself over. I didn't want to enlist everybody else's help. I didn't want anybody else to know what I was going through.
Yeah.
I kind of relate. I had fought my parents a lot on how I looked and stuff, but I also had, you know, come from a family that was overweight. And so I didn't trust anything that they said. When they said that I looked too small, you know, I was like, well, that's just because you're used to seeing everybody in our family be large. And so I didn't want anybody else to know or help me with my journey in that way.
Do you regret that a little bit? Or did it work for you?
It was lonely. It was really lonely. And, you know, I was taking it out on, like, my poor husband. He was the only one, and only because he was living with me, you know, he was the only person that I could talk to. And so I really, really, really wish I had gotten a coach. I really wish I had gotten a professional that I could talk to that had been where I had been and could tell me where my tunnel was going to end and things like that, you know, and it would have been better to be able to confidently talk with my family about, like, hey, I did it wrong, but this is what I'm doing next to fix it. Hey, don't do this because I did this. Like, I still wanted to speak from a place of confidence for my own pride.
Yeah.
My own issues, right? But I still wanted to be able to speak to a place of confidence, or from a place of confidence. So I think a coach would have been the best route for me,
mm-hmm.
because I came from a place where nobody knew how to be moderate. Nobody knew how to do a little bit. And, you know, I just thought that they were going to approach me with recovery with the same way that they tried to approach dieting and yo-yo constantly.
I think it's interesting. I think it's so interesting how we all have different, like, how we think our families are going to react and respond. Like, mm-hmm. everyone's family dynamic is just so different. Mine was complete opposite, where I was like, I'm going to tell my family and they're going to like not care at all. And that's going to bother me. And at some point, I still told my family, because I tell them everything no matter what. And I guess that's what the learned behavior is like. I'll tell them I did this big thing and they'll be like, cool. Like, there's definitely an inner child always trying to seek their approval and excitement for anything that I'm doing or anything that I've discovered, including their sympathy, their empathy, their care, like whatever. I always want it from them. And it was like a year or two later when I went through the whole thing that my mom like randomly like told me that she's sorry that she didn't respond, like she didn't care and she didn't really realize like what I was doing and what I was going through, even though I told her, you know what I mean? She's like, mm-hmm. I really just thought like, whatever. I know you did. Like, you know, so I have trouble getting a lot of support,
a response
from my parents. Yeah, I can get it more from my siblings, depending on the topic.
I get an over response. I have, you know, like my family is always like, you're doing what? I'll drive 12 hours to come and help you do that. Like they would. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I was afraid of asking for their advice on things because this wasn't something that I thought that they knew anything about, which is kind of rude of me because they've lived twice as long as me.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they might have known something, but I just, you know, yeah,
when I initially told her, you know, she was like, my friend Judith had her period go away for 6 months, but she still had a baby, you know? And I was like, yeah, okay. Like, she, you know, they're not oblivious, you know? And a lot of people will say like, oh yeah, my mom said that had happened to her, right? And like, it's happening everywhere. It's like miscarriage. Like, people just not be sharing. I think we need to, yeah. I mean, this is just an interesting thought experiment. Like, how people listening, like, how do you think your mom would respond, your parents, your family, and how is it different to other, you know,
and
to
then,
like what you're hearing here?
You know, yeah. And then really, really putting themselves in the shoes, like, now that you have your own child, like, I don't have my own child yet, but, and like you saying like, absolutely not. Don't you dare not allow me the opportunity to help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's,
so I'm doing is like a random side parenting thing. I have no idea if this is good or not, but it's going to be important to me to just have open dialogue from the beginning. And I think at the end of the day, like, it's totally possible that the nature of her personality is like very adult, you know, like and quiet and doesn't want to overshare or whatever. But I'm going to do everything I can to create one of those relationships where she tells me everything, because I don't overreact and because, like, you know, it's helpful.
You come at things from a logical angle.
Yeah. And so what I'm trying to do, I mean, she's only three, but we go to a coffee shop and we get like a hot chocolate and a croissant. And we just like sit there and I ask her like about school, and you know, she has like inane like or nonsensical answers, but we're doing it now and we're going to keep doing it. So every week we're going to have that date, and over time she's going to be 9, she's going to be 12, she's going to be 14, and it's like we're going to talk about everything at that moment. There's a designated moment. It's not official, but she knows it's coming. If she ever needs to talk about something, there's this like designated time that she knows she has my attention for it. Instead of having to like work up the gumption to like come out to the kitchen and ask me, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
I feel like, I mean, that's just a random side tangent, but.
So if you have more kids one day, would you have like a one-on-one with each one, you think?
Totally. And especially if they're like different genders, I think if I had two girls, I might try to create that dynamic between the three of us. But again, they could hate each other for the first like 12 years. There's nothing, you know, you can have the best intentions as a parent, but I'll figure it out as I go, because they could be wildly different people, or they could be so similar that it makes sense to bring them all in. I think if I had boys, I'd do it different. I'd have a separate, separate thing with them. But also, right. If I have more children, they would have a different father because I'm divorced. So
right.
The whole thing would be like a totally different routine. Right. Like they would probably be with me all the time, whereas she would be with me 50% of the time. Just, it's like a built-in dynamic there.
Yeah, there's, and I think it's, you know, like the control of our health isn't the only place where we control. And it's when we try to control how our family responds and how our future kids are going to be, like we have to be mindful of all of the places that that manifests and the stress that it takes on us. And to, you know, to do kind of what you're doing and let a lot of it roll and accept that you're going to learn a lot of it on the way. You know, that's life. Yeah. You can't lasso all of it like that.
Absolutely not. This is so good. Do you have time to do one more?
Yeah.
Let's close it out with Sieda's question. Sieda, I'm about a week into my all-in recovery and I keep finding myself overthinking everything and feeling anxious when it comes to food. Can you explain why I'm overthinking so much? I keep feeling the need to watch YouTube videos about recovery and remember the information said, and it just stresses me out. I also have been losing a lot of hair in recovery. Why is that? So do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
You're going to take all the good answers if you go first. That's up on a silver platter.
I mean,
you know, if she says that she is all in the first week. So it's, I mean, you know, she hasn't recovered her period. So the fact that she's still losing hair is still, you know, from, you know, the whole hormone lack in the first place. It's not recovering your hormones that's causing you to lose hair. This is from your months of not having a period or years, right? And it may or may not, you know, we don't get all the symptoms all at once. Like it comes through time. So I would say, don't worry about the hair loss, because as you recover your period, that will go away. And then obsessing over recovery information, very normal, because you were obsessed with not like you were obsessed in a different way before. You were obsessed with, you know, your maybe it was your exercise, your eating or whatever before. And so now you're in this state of obsession where you're like, okay, I must have gotten it wrong. And this is new information for me. And like, I see that with kids, like when I do tutoring or when I teach with kids, you know, when there's an almost an excitement when you get new information and you realize that, you know, it's opening a different door. You know, it almost makes me think of like when I installed my pool, there was this dream of like, what is my life going to be like now that I could swim in the morning and in the evening? What would I be like as a swimmer? What would change about my life? And, you know, she's going through this rewriting of her own script. She's rewriting who she is as a person. And okay, well, what do I want to be like? And she's trying to set up what she wants her life to be like. So it's just going to take some time to figure out what you want. And there's actually kind of an enjoyment in that. And hopefully a freedom of, I could make cookies tomorrow. I could eat one of those cookies and I could be okay about it. Or I could make something from a recipe every day. Oh my gosh, I could do like the Julia Child in my recovery, like the Julia Child challenge where you go through her cookbook and you make something from her cookbook every day. All of a sudden, that's now a possibility for me because I'm not worried about only eating tuna and Brussels sprouts. You know, like I think that that's a very natural and even an exciting part of remaking yourself in recovery. And the obsession over trying to remember it all is just, you know, that it's new information. So it's going to take a while for you to get used to the idea that there's a different way of doing something. I think I hit all of it.
Yeah, it was a good answer. Let me feel if like, yeah. And I think you're over consuming content because it's new and you'll get over it.
Yeah.
It was like, we used to talk about that all the time. In the early HA society days, haven't talked about that as much lately. Like you just binge it till you're over it. Like it's like, you got to just go through it. Don't like try to restrict yourself from the content. Just like keep going. And then the moment you realize no one's saying anything new, because that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure. Check in. Listen to us once a week or whatever, you know, when we release our podcast, check in, keep, stay focused, right? Be a part of the community. So you still feel like I'm not alone in this. I'm connected with these people.
You know where you're going. Yeah.
Yes. But like you'll then go watch documentaries or whatever you're into. Like it's fine, you know, but the early weeks, like, I think a lot of people worry that they're over consuming content. Like, oh my gosh, I'm stressing myself out on it. Probably true, you know, but you will, like, this is a huge dump of new information. This feels like a life-changing piece of information. It might be. So you just have to go through it. Like, that's something that I've just been learning. It's like, things are uncomfortable, you know, you will feel a lot of feelings about a lot of things in your life that will happen. And you'll be like, ew, that was cringe. Or I feel a lot of guilt. I feel a lot of shame. I feel overly excited, blah, blah. You have to let them do their thing.
You have to let it roll. It. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I went through a similar thing. Yeah, absolutely. Like when I went through, because I caught myself through the intuitive eating process and everything. And it kind of reminds me of like the obsessions that you go through with food, like the things that you restricted for so long, you kind of have to like let yourself have them and have them in abundance. Like my big thing was marshmallows for a time. Like I had to have like 5 bags of marshmallows in the house. And not that I ever say that binge eating marshmallows is a good idea, but I had to show myself that it was there. And then all of a sudden I was over it. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll have one today. Maybe I'll eat that bag or something from that bag next week. Like you just have to let yourself run through it, because like the forbidden, the more you hold yourself back from it, the more it becomes an obsession.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. That was a good one. I feel like we hit on everything there. So I love it. This has been a great chat. It's been a long time since I did like an hour long episode.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, no, it's not a problem. It's good. I mean, I don't know. We used to do hour longs all the time. They kind of bumped down to like 45, 30, sometimes 20. Curious about from you guys, like what you like. Do you love like a longer episode to just like immerse in? Or, I mean, we did waffle on in the beginning. So there's that, but, or, you know, are you like not short, sweet, succinct? DM me. Like, feedback is good. I don't get enough feedback from you guys about the types of episodes and things that you like. So yeah, please let me know. That'll be helpful. And thank you, Abby, for coming on. Where can people go connect with you more?
Yeah, I have a website for punctuation services, because my motto is lose the question mark, find your period. And we do all things weight, all things fertility. And I also am on Instagram at punctuation services as well. I just changed it all to be the same thing because it's so much easier. But yeah. Oh, and I also have a YouTube, a growing YouTube, a very small but growing YouTube, because I'm just figuring that out.
I love it. Yeah. Go check it out, guys. Thank you so much for having us in your ears.
Yeah. Whatever.
And we'll talk to you guys next week. Thank you, Abby. You have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
See ya.
Hey there. It's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So Temp Drop itself is a wearable fertility monitor and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are. And that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure if you're trying to avoid pregnancy that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping for many reasons is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the Temp Drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the Temp Drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So Temp Drop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons like HA recovery, making sure your cycle's not slipping back in the HA direction, Temp Drop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the Temp Drop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck.
This episode is brought to you by Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules. Did you know that in terms of nutrient density, beef liver actually blows vegetables and fruits out of the water? If you're a client of mine, you have already been instructed to eat beef liver either fresh or in capsule form. I recommend it for anyone and everyone who is, of course, dealing with amenorrhea and fertility challenges out there, but I may even recommend it for just everyone in general. Get your husbands on it, get your partners on it. If you have a history of HA and add on top of that maybe a history of the pill, maybe you've been pregnant before, you know, through treatments or other, like you've just, your body's been through anything, you know, you're absolutely 100% dealing with a nutrient deficiency of some kind. And while it's true that testing is going to be the best way to understand those exact deficiencies, Eating nutrient-dense, real food is going to be one of the most important next steps that you take with or without testing. So I've been using and recommending Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules for years now. And the capsule form makes it so easy to get your liver in every day. And I appreciate the transparency of this product in particular above others. So in case you're wondering, it's completely natural. This is freeze-dried beef liver in capsules. It's organic. It's made from Australian beef. And my favorite of their products is the liver with kelp because of the iodine from the kelp, which is important for overall thyroid function, which is often low in women with underperforming hormones. So rather than eat seaweed snacks every day, I get to take this beef liver with the kelp for my iodine. So if you're recovering or working on a fertility journey right now, do not skimp the nutrient rich source of beef liver. Get 10% off your order with the HA Society and support your favorite podcast along the way. They ship to most countries, so you should be covered. Just go to grasslandnutrition.net and use HA Society, just HA Society, at the checkout for the 10% off. That's grasslandnutrition.net with the code HA Society.
Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.